gain, I'm standing in darkness. If I can have the light soon. Thank you. All right, what a joy to see all of you again in the house of the Lord. Aren't you glad you're here? All right. This morning we have a guest, special guest speaker, Mr. Lee Hing Wing. Mr. Lee Hing Wing has been with Crew Singapore for more than 25 years. Crew Singapore, if not, some of you who are still not familiar, it used to be the Campus Crusade. Now they've changed the name to Crew. Right. And he has been all this time, he has been a missionary to many parts in Asia here, Japan, China, and is basically working with varsity students. And this last 7 years or so, he's been in Singapore with the working with the marketplace, evangelism training, and basically working with the professionals. But he's been also working in many other countries in Asia, Korea, like Korea, Taiwan, Mongolia, up to Pakistan. All right, he's married with 4 grown-up children, and he's also a grandpa now. All right, okay. Today he's going to bring us God's word from Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 20 to 30. The ministry of circumstances.
Okay, a very good morning. I'd like to thank Pastor John for the opportunity to share with you. And about being a grandfather, I just became a grandfather 4 months ago. I highly recommend it. I'm very, very glad to be with you, and my association with Calvary Chapel dates back to the time when I was a missionary in Japan in the early 90s. And as Pastor John and I were just having a chat just before coming in, found out that we actually know that the same pastor in the church that I was worshiping in. So when I was in Japan, I actually attended a Calvary Chapel affiliated church. And turns out that, we know the same pastor Kohama Sensei, and then he handed the mentorship over to Pastor Santo. So when Pastor John, emailed me and asked whether I would come and share God's word with you, I was very glad to say yes, simply because of the past association with Calvary Chapel in Japan. And being here this morning reminds me of a talk that a professor gave to an audience of about 1,000 people. And he started very enthusiastically, and so the audience listened to him very attentively for the first hour. And then he went on. He went on for another hour. And by that time, people lost interest and, 50% left. But he was not deterred. He continued on for another hour. And so by third hour, 25%, were left. But he continued on. He was very, enthusiastic, very determined. And he continued right until the fifth hour. And by the end of that, there's only one person left. So the professor was very, very impressed. So he went up to the gentleman and said, "Sir, you must really like my talk. You are still around." And the gentleman looked up to him and said, "Nope." Then the professor said, "Why are you staying here?" And he replied, "I'm the next speaker." Okay, I want to assure you that this won't be a 5 hour sermon. And if it is, I'm sure Pastor John will still be around. Yeah, this morning I'd like to share with you about the ministry of circumstances. I'm sure you and I have been through things, and maybe things that are happening in our life right now that seems puzzling. And we were expecting and we would prefer one outcome, But some, for some reason or other, another outcome happened. And as a result, we would either want to run away or change them if we can. Isn't that so? And so this morning, we want to perhaps get a glimpse of what could possibly be God's purpose for the things that happen in our life. Wouldn't we want to know that? Right? So let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 30. Okay, Romans 8, verses 28 to 30. And let me read for us. And it says here, "And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Verse 29, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, for Him to be the firstborn among many brothers. But whom He predestinated, these He also called, and whom He called, those He also justified, and whom He justified, these He also glorified." Shall we pray? Father, thank You for Your wonderful word and Your assured presence with us this morning. And we want to come before You, to sit at Your feet, and to learn from You. And we ask that, Lord, You would open our hearts, open our ears, as You open Your word, Lord, and to speak personally and individually to each of my brothers and sisters here. That, Lord, You bring a timely word in season for each of my brothers and sisters sitting in this congregation. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. From this set of verses, we can make at least three observations. The first is the purpose of God. Wouldn't you and I like to have an understanding of what might God's purpose be for all the things that happens in our life? First, the purpose of God. Second is the predestination of God. It sounds like a high-sounding word, right? But I would unpack it for us. And the predestination of God is, what is the end goal of God's purpose? What is God trying to accomplish by allowing those circumstances to happen in our lives? What is going on behind the scene? And finally, the providence of God. Okay? How is God going to accomplish His purpose in our life? So what's God's purpose? What is the end goal? And how is God going to achieve it? Let's look at the first point. What is the eternal purpose of God? In verse 29, it says, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son." If we recall in Genesis, when God made man, He made man in His own image, right? And so what happened when Adam and Eve, when they sinned? God's image was tarnished. And so salvation is God restoring us into the image of His Son Jesus Christ. Right? One day, all of us, you and I, are going to be like Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Right? One day, all of us are going to be like Jesus. And our body is going to be perfect. In other words, no glasses. Alright? I used to wear glasses when I was from primary school onwards. Alright? And the reason why I'm not wearing glasses now is not because I went for LASIK. It's because I had cataract operation. Okay, I had cataract surgery. And so that's why I'm not wearing glasses now. My eyesights are not perfect as it is, but one day it will be. Okay, that's what it means. In fact, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, we know that when he shall be revealed, we shall be like him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. We know that when he shall be revealed, we shall be like him. You know, when Jesus comes, it will be a rapture. Okay, but for some of us, it may be a rupture. Okay, so what then is the eternal purpose of God? It is to conform us into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And that brings us to the second observation, is the predestination of God. What does predestination mean? It simply means this, that God has guaranteed it. That God has guaranteed that every one of us will be like Jesus. The purpose of God is that each of us will one day be like him. The predestination of God guarantees it. In Romans 8:30 it says, but whom he predestinated, this he also called, and whom he called, those he also justified, and whom he justified, this he also glorified. You notice something about the tense there. What tense is it in? It is in the past tense. Right? Why is that so? It's because as far as God is concerned, it is accomplished. As far as God is concerned, it is finished. It is done. This brings us to the third observation, the providence of God. How is God going to accomplish his purpose in us? He's going to do it by providence. Okay, what do we mean by providence? Okay, providence comes from two words. Okay, it's made up of the word before and video. It means to see beforehand. What do we mean by that? It means to see something before it happens and to plan accordingly. The providence of God is seeing everything that is going to happen to us and planning accordingly. Did you know that before there was sin, there was already Jesus Christ? In the book of Genesis, we see one of the greatest illustrations of the providence of God. In Genesis 45 and 50, we see this, the climax of the story of Joseph. In verses 4 to 8 of Genesis 45, we read Genesis 45, verses 4 to 8. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be grieved nor angry with yourself that you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be no plowing nor harvest. Verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to save your life by a great deliverance. And finally, verse 8, and now you did not send me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler over all the land of Egypt. Now in these verses, you see that for 3 times, what did Joseph say? You didn't send me. God did. Alright? You didn't send me. God did. Now if you look at the story, you would think that it was Joseph's brother who did all that to Joseph. But from Joseph's perspective, he said, you didn't send me, God did. Right? He says, You didn't do it. God sent me. God sent me. God sent me. That is the providence of God. Now, please note that is not the predestination of God. Okay, if that is the predestination of God, it meant that it would mean that God was the one who made the brothers do it. All right. So what God did was that He saw beforehand the evil things that the brothers would be doing to Joseph, and He planned accordingly. Now let's go to Genesis 50. After the brothers died, or the father died, the brothers again was fearful that Joseph would seek revenge on him. And verse 19 says, "And Joseph said to them, 'Do not fear, for I am the one in the place of God. But as for you, you took evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save a great many people.'" What did Joseph say here? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, and years later, because of that very act, they were saved by Joseph. You know what does that mean? Their sin became their salvation. Because of what they did, selling Joseph into slavery, Joseph eventually came into a position where he was able to help the brothers. Their sin became their salvation. Now, we are not saying that we can go out and sin. What it means that God can take something evil, something bad, and turn it around for our good. With that in mind, there are two things. First is that God controls every circumstance of life. God controls every circumstance of life. In Isaiah 45 verse 7, he says, "Forming the light and creating darkness, making peace and creating evil, I, Jehovah, do all these things." In other words, nothing comes into our life unless it has been filtered through the will of God. Nothing touches our life unless God allows it. And we see this illustrated in the life of none other than Job himself. Satan one day comes to God and says, Satan comes and God said to him, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Okay. And the devil said, "Sure, he will serve you because you have put a hedge around him. You are blessing him, but will Job serve you for nothing?" You know, that's a good question. God, if you stop blessing him, will he still serve you? And God gave the devil permission to afflict Job. But God set the boundaries. Okay? You see, the devil cannot touch us without God's okay. And even if God permits it, he will set boundaries. He will set limits for the devil's activities in our lives. Now you notice that, in the story of Job, calamities upon calamities fell on Job. But not once did Job attribute all that to the devil. Not once did he attribute it to the work of the devil. From Job's perspective, who was doing it? It was God. It was God. God controls every circumstance in our life. When Job was afflicted by the devil, the devil was accomplishing God's purpose in Job's life. When the devil afflicted Job, he was accomplishing God's purpose in his life. Another truth is that God uses every circumstance. God's desire is to build in each one of us the character of Jesus Christ. And the tool he uses is circumstances. When things don't go the way we want to in our lives, often our reaction is we want to change it or we want to run away from it. But God knows exactly what is needed in each one of our lives. The right tools, the right circumstances to carve out Christ's character in each one of us. For us, for me, it may be one set of circumstances, but for you, it may be another. Now, as we go through those circumstances, one reaction is that, Lord, you know, can you just take this away from me? Lord, can you change these circumstances of mine? But God will not abandon his purpose of creating Christ's image in us. And he will continue to do that, all right, until his purpose is accomplished. We may want to run away, and if we run away, he will create similar circumstances to engineer such that he will accomplish his purpose in us. And then, what should be our response? In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." It says just in everything. You know, sometimes we wish he didn't say that. Sometimes we wish Paul could have written in some things or in good things. But somehow, God in his wisdom has directed Paul to write, "In everything give thanks." He didn't say in everything feel thankful. He said in everything give thanks. The key is not victory over circumstances. The key is victory through circumstances. There was a group studying the book of Malachi. And they came to chapter 3 of Malachi, and verse 3 says this: "He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." And this verse puzzled the members very much, and they wondered what this verse meant. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And they couldn't quite understand what was being said in this verse. And so one of them volunteered to go and find out and then come back to the Bible study. So this member called up the silversmith and made an appointment to see how the silversmith went about his craft. And on the day, the person went to observe how the silversmith worked. He saw him taking a piece of silver and putting it right in the middle of the flame where it is supposed to be the hottest. And he explained that in refining silver, one need to hold the silver in the middle where the flame is the hottest, so that all the impurities will be burnt away. The member thought about what was going on and thought about God holding us often in a difficult circumstance. You know, is it true that sometimes, you know, the circumstances that we face don't seem to go away? Alright, it stays with us and we rather run away or we would like to change it. But God seems to be holding us in that holding pattern. And so the member thought, you know, it's like, that's what God seems to be doing, you know, in our lives. Sometimes just holding us and not allowing us to move out of the circumstance. So that the member was reflecting about that. And then she thought again about the verse that he sits as a refiner and purifier of silver. So she asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit in front of the fire the whole time while the silver was being refined. And he answered yes. And he not only had to sit there all the time, he had to keep his eye on the silver. And she asked him why. He said, because if I hold it too long, the silver will be destroyed. And so the member thought further and said, and asked the silversmith, then when do you know it is the right time? And the silversmith replied, when I see my image in it. And that's what God wants to do. To use the circumstances that are going on in our lives right now, be it difficult, be it painful, and he seems to be holding us, okay, in that holding pattern. And the whole purpose is that he's conforming us into the image of his Son Jesus Christ. And what is God's purpose? To make us like his Son. And how does he do it? To use the circumstances in our life. And often when it comes to circumstances, you know, God can change it, but it seems that he doesn't, right? And God would continue to use those circumstances in our life until he has accomplished the purpose of making us into the image of his Son Jesus Christ. And when that begins to happen, he can change those circumstances. But you know what? When that happens, okay, even if God does not change those circumstances, it doesn't matter anymore. Because he will have given us the strength, right, to face those circumstances. Circumstances are God's tool to change us into the image of his Son Jesus Christ. And what is our response? If we could just close our eyes right now, let's reflect on everything in our past, those circumstances you feel you got a bad deal. It may be poor health, it may be a broken home, it may be something painful, it may be something hurtful. Everything in your past that you feel you got a bad deal, bring them before the Lord. Then think about everything in the present you would change if you could, but you can't. Those unchangeable, uncontrollable circumstances. It may be something physical, it may be a relationship, or it may be something that's causing you much emotional pain. Everything in your present life that you would change if you could, but you can't. Bring this to the Lord. And Romans 8:28 says, "So we know that all things work together for good to those who love him." And the invitation is this: to thank God for each of them. You and I may not feel thankful about them. Everything in your past that you got a bad deal on, thank God for each one of them. And everything in your present circumstances that you would like to change, but you can't. Thank God for each one of them. Why? Because God is in control of these circumstances, and He's using them to conform you into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, there are many things that happen in our lives and are happening in our lives right now that we do not fully understand. But thank you for your word this morning to help us understand that your desire is for us to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And that you use these circumstances, Lord, in our lives to mold us, to conform us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us that patience, to give us that trust, to give us that faith in you. And I just pray for each one of us that, Lord, you would continue to speak to us and to continue that process, Lord, to make us into more like your Son, because you have guaranteed it. In Jesus' name, amen.